That little boy got off, didn't he? Not guilty? What a shocker. Hood politics, y'all.
Hey, it's so hood right now. Hood politics, y'all. So hood.
There are a number of great African-American proverbs handed down to us by our griots, one of which is, oh, hell no, you got me fucked up. It's one of them, but that's not one I want to talk about. The one I want to talk about today is the deep sigh is a part of the proverb. So I'll start it over for you. We tried to tell you. We tried to tell you. I know I did. Because I know how whiteness works. And I understand our justice system. So I'm referring to your little young shooter, Kyle Rittenhouse, who he's not guilty. And you know what? What you want me to say? The boy got off. And he got off. You know, his little crying session, you know what I'm saying? His little self-defense. You feel me? Like, that mug worked. And I've been trying to tell y'all, of course it's going to work. Because he knows something that I've been trying to tell y'all is they ain't gonna do shit. This, like, y'all ain't gonna do shit. Ain't nothing gonna happen to him. And y'all know the victims was white people, right? Like, and it's funny, I don't hear y'all worried about no white on white crime. You know what I'm saying? You know how silly that sound now when you talk about black on black? You see how silly it sound? He murdered two white people. And I see his supporters that are always doing about the, what about the crime in Chicago? Why aren't you worried about Young Dolph? Like, why aren't you worried about white on white crime then? I say this so many times because I feel like y'all ain't appreciating. And I hope this little not guilty verdict helps you appreciate what I'm trying to tell you. People broke into the Capitol building. Sat on elected officials' desks with guns and zip ties and moose heads. And fools just went home and went back to work. Like, y'all not gonna do shit. And this is what I'm trying to say. That little boy turked them tears on. That was some of the most hilarious things. That was hilarious. I very rarely cry about people's pain. And I say rarely because sometimes I do. I'm sorry. I ain't all the way saved. that's another black proverb. I ain't all the way saved. Lord's still working on me. That's a terrible thing to say. But that little boy got on that stand and tried to squeeze out some tears. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is gonna work. Just like last week, I told you some of these people in this Feeling Froggy episode, they're going to be able to actually get off in defending themselves because that's just how it works. Now, for this episode, it was very easy for me to turn this into just a venting session and just sort of a like, see, and just kind of work myself into a frenzy. But I'm saving that for the group text. This situation, listen, I want to make a couple cases for us and also want to put in perspective what could be going on in hearts and minds of some of the black people you may know, because it's what we keep trying to tell you. White supremacy is not necessarily just about the color. It's a system. It's not white people as much as it's whiteness. In this case, is like, this is what we trying to say. It's a structure of power. Do you understand what we're trying to say? Like, it protects itself. I don't know if y'all getting it. Here's the thing. One would think that after hundreds of years and thousands of examples, thousands of cases, that something like this situation wouldn't be so shocking. In case you don't know, in Kenosha, Wisconsin last year, this young little 17-year-old boy had his mama follow me, drive him down to Kenosha where there were some protests happening around the shooting of a black man who didn't die, but, you know, it was around their shooting. He was going down there to, humongous air quotes, protect businesses and to, according to him, offer medical aid. So he goes down there with his, you know, assault semi-automatic rifle, this big old gun strapped to his little teeny chest, and went out there and was, you know, defending property. And in the defense of property, shot and killed two guys. And his defense was, well, this was self-defense. I was down there doing good work and these guys attacked me. Whatever. Anyway, I don't want to adjudicate the case again. But situation, again, what a shocker. The kid got off. Not guilty. Right? And obviously, he's not a cop. This isn't a police officer, you know. So when these are officer-involved shootings, obviously, there's a particular sort of standard we would think that we would hold a police officer to, which, you're right, is not the same standard I would hold a common citizen to. However, to go out of your way to another city to, quote-unquote, defend property with your weapon, it's I don't want to adjudicate the case again. Point is, little boy got off. Also, as stated before, adding an interesting sociocultural wrinkle to this, although it shouldn't be a wrinkle at all, is that these aren't dead people of color. They're dead white people. It's different. It's the same, but it's different. It's kind of that. Nah, it's different. It's different. Now, my mama don't listen to the show because I cuss too much in it. And I'm still a little embarrassed of cussing in front of my mama. We black people. She cuss in front of me, though. Anyway. Ooh, my grandma, different story. She cuss a nigga out quick. Anyway, she don't even know the topic. I just went over there and I was just talking to her like, hey, mom, you know, that little cow, he got off. And she said exactly what I said. Well, what a shocker. I'm not surprised. And then she said, you know what they doing right now? All them little people, they out there locking and loading right now. His little folk, they finna turn up. That's what my mom said. Cause she goes, because that's what this trial taught him, is like, we all right. So in her own way, she just explained, y'all ain't gonna do shit. And what happens when y'all don't do shit is fools read it as a green light. I ain't even have to tell her that. That's what I'm saying. We tried to tell you. The hood knows. My mama knew the topic. I didn't even have to explain it. She already knew. This is what I'm trying to tell you. We already knew. We tried to tell you, if y'all don't do shit, it's gonna keep happening. Here's why I say, what a shocker, we tried to tell you. It's because we've seen these cases before. Oftentimes, I'm going to jump subjects here. Oftentimes, black people, and maybe in a broader sense, people of color, I can't speak to any specifics for them because that's not my situation. I'm only adjacent to that. But I know in our community, we're oftentimes juggling multiple crises, right? Because just 2 days ago from the day that I'm recording this, which is the day that Kyle got his not guilty verdict, Young Dolph got murdered. Young Dolph is an artist from Memphis who, in a lot of ways, carried that same sort of Nipsey Hussle spirit where he never left his hood. He did good for his community. He was good out there. He buying family man, you know, wife, two kids, buying private. Of course, you know, music's ratchet, you know what I'm saying? But he ain't no more ratchet than, you know, any of your country western singers, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not here again to argue over whether a man deserved to be murdered because his music is ratchet. That's not what we're here to talk about. What I am here to talk about is the loss of life. And that's happening within our own hoods. Things that we need to take care of, things that we are grieving within our own communities about trying to amongst each other be better, because we can't, whenever somebody starts, advancing and start thinking different, talking different, moving different, somehow or another, because of our situation, listen, we could talk about the criminal justice system. We could talk about capitalism, issues of poverty that pushes people of color into these environments who choose that like their only choice is violence. Why, you know, the psychological effects of poverty and why gangs become what they are and why you feel like that person is your op. We could talk about all that. At the end of the day, a black man murdered another black man. And it is an absolute tragedy that we're still trying to untangle and figure out, and especially over some rap shit, which is what makes it even more stupid. I think we're not aware of that. That we're not aware of black on black crime. You think we don't know, fam? And that it's, you can't, this is why it's another reason why it's bullshit when you try to weaponize that phrase. Because people shoot who close to them. Like this, it's an absurd statistic. And we know it's disingenuous because Exhibit A, Kyle Rittenhouse. But yes, seeing ourselves shoot each other, shit is fucking ridiculous. We're tired of it. All the way back to Tupac, Biggie, Jam Master Jay, Big L. We tired of this shit. Nipsey, like, we're tired of it. We hate it. This all happening the same time that our brother Julius Jones got removed from the death penalty, which is a moment of celebration. So you're like, okay, there's this tragedy and then there's this celebration, but then the celebration is still kind of weird because he's just getting life in prison. When the parole board two times recommended, we need to let this little boy go. He needs a new trial. There was mad evidence that was withheld that showed that that little boy had a perfect alibi. He supposedly committed a murder in 1999 that, I mean, the little boy wasn't even there and he was about to be murdered. So it's weird how when you in our situation, we have to celebrate every win we get. And this is the bare minimum. That little boy shouldn't be in jail, period. Little boy, he a grown man now. He 41 years old. Been in jail since he was 17 for something he ain't even do. Or at least they didn't prove he did. Right? You're holding those two things. I haven't even got to the Ahmaud Arbery case where that defense attorney was like, we don't want no black pastors coming down here. As another side note, I feel like black church has been the conscious of our nation for years, maybe the whole time, because the man that was outside leading some of the charges in advocating for Julius Jones, there was a black preacher out there, tied himself up to chains. He was like, if you need a body, just take mine. You got to kill somebody, kill me. Let that little boy go. Of course, it was an act of protest. Of course, it's high drama, but that's the point of it. We're putting our bodies on the line. I know people directly, my boy Conscious Lee, my homie JB, that worked tirelessly. Joshua Du Bois, tirelessly on this Julius case. I'm so happy for him that that little boy alive, a grown man alive. But life in prison for some, he ain't even do it. So you got the Ahmaud Arbery case where that man was murdered. And we saw it. I listened to the testimony of the white boy say, he grabbed my gun and I got scared. And I still honestly don't understand that defense because I'm like, how you think he felt when you pulled it on him? Who you think was really scared? You feel me? But that's, again, I don't want this to be a venting session. I'm trying to set up something. These are things we're carrying all the time, right? My patron saint, James Baldwin, was talking about to be black in America is to be at a full constant rage just right under the surface. You know what I'm saying? I guess it's just like right under your cool is a tempest that's just always there. You feel me? My homeboy Kendrick says that niggas from LA always just randomly using big words. And I just did it again. We were just like a tempest. Anyway. This is why we say our music and Black Boy Joy and Black Girl Fly and all this stuff is like, it's part of our protest because it's part of our rebellion because what's hovering under us is this impending dread and the years and years of receipts of looking at this Kyle Rittenhouse case and going, that little white boy gonna get off, right? And listen, I'm gonna come back to the thing. We tried to tell you, he gonna get away with it. Now, this Ahmaud case, I don't know. I feel like because of like the Free Barabbas joint that they may give us them. And because that judge is, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that judge is a different judge than this one. But I don't know if I could call it for that one. I think, you know, but this Kyle one, oh, I knew. Y'all ain't gonna do shit. I done told y'all this a number of times on this show. Don't nothing happen to them. You know that little boy raised upwards of $175,000, maybe even more on a GoFundMe when he got into legal troubles. That's they one. That's they boy. That's they boy. Now, let me make a case for all of us. I'm going to make a case first to the hood, and then I want every, it's like Socratic method. I'm talking to the inner circle, but I want the rest of us to really listen, especially if you're in a position of power or privilege or you have access to things that us inside of this circle ain't got access to. Let me break it down after this break. Ooh, I did a product break. Check me out. All right, yo, check it. Sorry, I'm chewing rice. It's disgusting. I'm coping. I think it's important to remember when you're looking at these two particular cases, the Kyle Rittenhouse case and the Ahmaud Arbery case. It's the behavior of the judges. Why I was absolutely convinced that Kyle Rittenhouse was going to get off was the judge. And all the way back to the beginning that the judge wouldn't let the two dead men be called victims because it's going to sway the jury. So you telling me the two dudes that died aren't victims? Remember I told you before, most of the time when it comes to cases like this, the shooter's not on trial, the victim is. Are they worthy to be called victims? Even when the victims ain't necessarily black or brown, because a power is protecting itself. Basically, these victims, they sided with the wrong people. They didn't side with power. They sided with the marginalized, which, I mean, according to the system, the power structure, you've become an op. So I'm going to treat you like an op. I'm going to treat you how we treat the ops. Because again, we're not talking about white people. We're talking about whiteness. Do you please understand the difference? Like, it's so important. This is a side note, but it's very important that you understand this. It's like when someone talks about privilege, specifically white privilege, your knee-jerk reaction is like, well, I come from poverty too. And I'm like, okay, that's classism. Nobody is saying y'all ain't came from some struggle. I know some real dirty, dirty gutter, ratchet as hell white people who came from the mud, like more mud than I came from. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about a system. I forgot we're not allowed to teach this stuff because it makes white people feel bad. My bad. See, I'm not going to call them there. I'm going to call them rioters. I'm going to call them protesters. We're going to call them agitators. But we not going to call them victims. Hear how their lives' dignity was stripped from them. And they already dead. They shouldn't have been running with the ops. That's how we treat the ops. Ops is in everybody that's not part of this power structure. I was like, oh, homie finna get off. It is the dread of any black or brown person who's been caught in the system to run into a judge that has a complete implicit bias about you. The problem is the bias about us is oftentimes against us. What we witnessed was a implicit bias, but in the favor of the defendant. Y'all ain't see that? Man, how dope would it be? Could you imagine? I was texting some of the homies this. How dope would it be for you to be on trial and the judge, you walk in and the judge is like neighborhood, like the judge, you know what I'm saying? The judge like repping the block. He looking at you like, hey, homie, when all this is over, man, you gotta come over, man. We play space, play some dominoes. You good, homie. You know what I'm saying? And then when you start showing some emotion, he like, hey, I think everybody should chill. Let the young homie get his way. Like, how great would it be? You know what I'm saying? If you walk in, nah, instead, we walk in, the judge is like, pull up your pants, son. So what gang are you from? What bad choices have you? Like, man, first of all, we all don't gangbang, number one. You know what I'm saying? Number two, you don't even know me. We ain't even made no case yet. You feel me? So we walk in with the opposite bias that Kyle got. But wouldn't it be nice? Here's the thing. You want to say, well, you know, your judges are supposed to be impartial. Well, they're humans. They're not. This we tried to tell you. It's the system. The whole thing. So number one, the judge was like, you can't call them victims. I was like, oh, this case over. That little boy finna get off. Then he did the little waterworks and then his mama cried. And then they was like, I think we need to take a little break. And then Mans is on his phone. And it's funny watching like lawyer. If you know lawyers, like if you're friends with any, I know how weird of a flex that is. Or if you follow any on any social media, they not surprised at all by this man. They like, listen, this how it is. Yo, judge is the luck of the draw. That man got 72 cases after this. That lady got 99 other cases after this. That lady, that man is a person. They live in a city. They got opinions. I don't know why y'all think, of course they do. This what we mean by like, yo, the case was stacked against us. We got an implicit bias. The justice system wasn't fair because the judge already decided. You gonna look at that Kyle Rittenhouse case and think that judge ain't already know? Was he not stacking them cards in that boy's favor? I mean, it was televised. We saw it. That man said, hey, pick a name out of a hat. You want to choose which one of these jurors stays? Nigga, he let the defendant, like, are y'all homies? Like, y'all really homies? So here's my case. District judges, They elected.
Well, indirectly. Let me unpack this. District judges are appointed, but they're appointed by, it's pretty convoluted, but they're appointed by our elected officials. So ultimately they're elected, but the way that the separation of powers is set up, we're not supposed to directly, they're not supposed to campaign. But the people that put them in place are the ones that are campaigning, and we get to choose that. So we got to pay attention to our ballots, especially our local ones. Remember I told you the thing about Mitch, the game Mitch was playing? Had a man's put 200 judges on benches, on lower benches all over the country. Now, I don't know who elected this man. I ain't do that much homework. But I tell you what, somebody we elected appointed that person. And look where it got us. That's what I'm saying. I'm make that case. So, yo, the voting of your local Congress, this where it plays out. It plays out there, not just on the things you see on the news. It plays out there. Does that, you follow me? District attorneys, they're elected. What this means to me is in your legal case, or not in your legal cases, in your, when your ballots come, when your local ballots come, I'm asking you to do a little more homework on who is being elected to those, to that bench, to these school boards. What this means to me is in your legal case, or not in your legal cases, when your ballots come, when your local ballots come, I'm asking you to do a little more homework on who is being elected to those, to that bench, to these school boards, to these district offices. We have a say. That type of implicit bias shouldn't exist. Somebody that can sway a case like that. You think that man ain't sway that case? So here's what I'm saying. We need to pay more attention to that. Now, let me push you even further. Some of you young shooters who are activists now out here getting radicalized by Cool Zone Media. Let me ask you this. Hey, what's up with going to law school, though? What if you got on that bench? What if that was your way of advocating? Now, if you listen to the episode with me and Robert Evans, I talk about, I understand how problematic that is. Like, why would I jump into a sinking ship that I already know sucks, right? I'm saying, but in the meantime, niggas is still on trial. Murders are still getting off. It's in the meantime, before we could tear it all down, burn it all down. I mean, in the meantime, some of us got court cases. It'd be really dope to pull, you know what I'm saying, Juanisha Jackson as my judge. It'd be dope to pull Juan Carlo Perez as my judge, because I'm going to look at Juan Carlo like, oh, it's cool, I'm from East Los. I understand the nuances. Now, let me judge this case accordingly. Because, nigga, if you wildin', you wildin'. Like, the cake, like I may have quoted this man before, Riley from Boondocks. Hey, listen, every nigga in jail ain't Nelson Mandela. Some of y'all niggas is broken the law. I cite the Young Dolph situation. Who's that football player we just saw that threw his lady? What's that boy's name? I'm asking y'all like you listening. Don't go look at this video. But is a former Jet, New York Jet, smacked, just balled his fist up and punched his lady and then threw her into a TV. That you need to put that nigga up under the jail. You wildin', like you broke the law. Like, far be it from me to, I'm not gonna, again, like I said, I don't slander black men in public, but wrong is wrong, my nigga. Like, you bugging, cuz. What you want me to say? You bugging. Them two little boys that shot Young Dolph, they butt, what you want me to say? I understand their situation. Both can be true. I understand their situation and needs to go to jail. That's a murder. It don't bring me joy. It sucks. I would love to see some more restorative justice. That's my hope. I'm trying to terraform a new world. But until then, it would be really dope if we had better judges on the bench. My second case I want to make to you, I think I said it before, is jury summonses. I'm going to reiterate this. I might be sitting in a place of privilege where I make my own schedule. My income may probably not be affected too bad if I had to like sit on a case for like a week or two. I understand that that's unique. I also understand that the people that make time for this are the people that end up sitting on a case like Kyle Rittenhouse. They make time for it. Could you imagine if it was one of us that was in that deliberation, it was just like, I am not budging. That little boy guilty. I looked at the evidence. He guilty. You need a unanimous. We gonna stay here forever. I'm not finna let that man. Like, could you imagine the type of freedom fighter you would be? Like, nobody would know. But that's the beauty of like really being a freedom fighter. Don't nobody know. Ain't no real capes. Ain't no real flags. You know what I'm saying? You get to for a lot of the work a lot of us do. Even as a side note, there's something that like I kind of stepped back a lot of ways from being an organizer in the sense that as I became more of a public figure, I didn't want nobody to just follow some sort of personality cult. Like, don't just be here because you a fan of me. Be here because it's the right thing to do. You know, be here because this is the right cause, not just because you like my music. So I'm like, I had to learn how to push the line different ways, you know, because I don't want nobody to just be out here because I want them to be radicalized on their own. You feel me? Let me just give you the nuggets and you find your place in there. But don't just show up because I'm here, because that won't last. You feel me? I might get on your nerves one day. I may have a hot take one day and then the movement suffers. You feel me? And I that's not what I'm looking for. But what I will do is I say yes to jury duty. I'ma show up. Because it's until we can overthrow the system, it's the only one we got. So those are my two main cases. Like, yo, you know, three really. A, like, pay attention to who we vote into the benches. And then maybe even consider going into law. And then three, yo, get on the juries. Like, get on the juries, fam. Like, I mean, in as much as you can, yo, get on the juries. Because, listen, when these people look at us breaking into the capitals, shooting people on some like I'm protecting business, and then sit on the stand like, shut the fuck, y'all ain't gonna do shit. Hey, what we doing after this? Looking at the judge like, yo, what are we doing? We're gonna barbecue, bro? We're gonna barbecue? We're gonna kick it after this? So when they say y'all ain't gonna do shit, you can bring in the other African American proverb. Oh, you got me fucked up. Y'all, this mug was recorded and edited by me, Propaganda, right here in East Los Boyle Heights, Los Angeles. Y'all can follow me at Prop Hip Hop on all the socials. You can follow the Hood Politics Pod itself at Hood Politics Pod, where we be trying to make takes on stuff that aren't really big enough for a whole episode, but definitely needs a little bit of clarity. This mug was scored, edited, mixed, and mastered by the one and only Headlights. Y'all go follow my dog, Matt Oswowski. I still don't know how to say his name. I'm glad he changed it to Headlights. Follow him on his socials at Headlights_music. Telling you, hear all these new other fly tracks this fool be making. And the theme music was done by the one and only Gold Tips, DJ Sean P. And y'all remember, every time you check in, if you understand the hood, you could understand politics. Shouts to iHeartMedia for making this happen.